people in Kashmir have voted in the Indian elections. 80% people have voted. The issue is not the voting. The issue is the right, enjoying the right of, self-determination to make a final decision as to what the Kashmiris want to do under the UN resolutions, which were actually the resolutions pushed by Indian Prime Minister Nehru 65-67 years ago. It was the Indian side that took the issue of Kashmir to the Security Council. It was the Security Council that made the determination that the solution lies over the issue of Kashmir in holding a plebiscite so that the people can express their free will and go about their future as an independent people. It would be up to the people of Kashmir after the plebiscite takes place under the UN resolutions that they would be free to join either Pakistan or India. So the issue is not these so-called fake elections that the Indian government always manages to hold every few years. And these are a bunch of, people who are their stooges who just make claims on their behalf. And sometimes the claims are made by the Indian government also that 70% people have voted. What kind of election? Hold this election under the UN auspices and you'll know the results. Kashmiris don't want to stay with India even for one brief moment.
Okay, Mr. Bhaskar, I'm sure you have a response to that. Just hold on to your thoughts, though. I just want to get our viewer comments in on this. Our viewers have been taking part in this conversation as well. Let's take a listen to some of those comments, and we'll be right back.
The two sides should allow the Kashmiris to have independence from India and Pakistan. I like Press TV, but it's banned in Kashmir because of real and true news. 71% voting only for basic needs like water, electricity, road, not to accept the Indian constitution. Thanks, Press TV, for highlighting Kashmir. Pakistan and India should literally give the Kashmir people independence instead of using them as laboratory guinea pigs for their military arsenal. A fair referendum under the watch of the UN. Kashmiri should have the right to join either Pakistan or India, whichever they choose. They should be allowed to choose a free, independent state. But India will never admit this, since she knows well that the people of Kashmir despise to live under its totalitarian rule. Demilitarization of Jammu and Kashmir from the Indian defamed army and leave Kashmir. We can survive without any assistance. We have got better neighbors, Pakistan, China, Iran, and other West Asian countries. Kashmiris are so far sacrificing on daily basis heavily, but it doesn't come into notice of biased media. I'm a Kashmiri. Plebiscite is the best option. Pakistan is ready, but India is stubborn. The world community should pressure India to hold a referendum. India should withdraw from Kashmir as they have occupied our land illegally. Kashmir is for Kashmiris. Let us decide what is better for us.
Again, just some of our viewer comments as posted on our various social media platforms. As promised, now let's go to Mr. Bhaskar, as I promised to get a reaction from him about these elections and what Mr. Pirzada had said. Mr. Bhaskar, go ahead with that reaction. I just wanted to throw in this as well, that many Kashmiris are saying that taking part in elections is not necessarily a judgment on India itself. It's just a judgment on the fact that they want control over their local affairs. And there's also, of course, this time around, the fear of the BJP also taking control in Jammu and Kashmir.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you very well. Could you please repeat your question?
Sure. I wanted to get your reaction about what Mr. Pirzada had said about the elections, and I also wanted to get your opinion on many people saying that these elections are not necessarily a judgment on India, but are just a judgment on local people wanting control over their own affairs. And there's also, of course, the fear of BJP taking control in Jammu and Kashmir as well.
Well, I think, first of all, I'd like to perhaps place this in a certain context, which is that when you ask what is it that the people of Jammu and Kashmir want, I can say with a fair amount of confidence that having visited the state and spoken to people who are from Jammu and Kashmir, even when they visit us in Delhi, the first thing they want is peace and stability and freedom from the kind of fear and trauma that these terrorist and militant attacks have generated. Like anybody else in the world, the youth in Jammu and Kashmir, particularly the young demography, wants the equivalent of an opportunity that would allow them to get education, employment, and a certain kind of quality of life. Now, for these to be made available, peace is a prerequisite. And I'm afraid, as I said earlier, there are forces and elements in Pakistan that are constantly trying to disrupt the attempt at restoring peace and stability in the state of Jammu and Kashmir.
Mr. Bhaskar, if I could push you on that point, I do apologize for interrupting, but India's finance minister, and I'm sure you're aware of this, recently sparked an outcry by saying that Kashmir is an integral part of India. And now that comes even though the UN says, in fact, that this is disputed territory.
Well, I'm afraid here again, if you go back in history, I did notice that our guest from Pakistan was constantly referring to the UN resolutions of 1948. Now, if you read those resolutions carefully, there are four bullet points, as it were. And the second requirement that the UN had mandated was that in 47-48, there was an attempt at aggression and to take over the Indian side of Jammu and Kashmir by the Pakistani army and what they described as irregulars. But history has established that this was yet another attempt, or perhaps the first attempt by the Pakistani army to use
troops. Pakistan
and
did
the
not
irregulars.
Have standing regular army in 1947. What are we talking about? We did not have regular standing forces in 1947. We had a bunch of few regiments, and that's about it. And those regiments were deployed along the border of Lahore. So basically, there were no Pakistani regular army in existence at that time. This is my question to you. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, most certainly. Sir, I'm afraid this is very counterfactual because, as you know, the British Indian Army was divided and the Pakistani Army was formed from those regiments that were divided and given to Pakistan. So the suggestion that Pakistan did not have a standing army after partition is, again, I'm afraid, very, very counterfactual.
Very few regiments.
I could quote to you.
And they never entered what is called Kashmir.
Mr. Pirzada, you are a well-known name in Pakistan. Should I remind you about the rape of Baramulla? What happened to the nuns and that convent over there? I mean, these are historical facts. They're very bitter. And it doesn't serve much of a purpose in recycling that in Iranian television. But I think we should have some fidelity to facts. And if you allow me to finish what I'm saying, coming to the present moment, the suggestion that the people of Jammu and Kashmir are collectively trying to exercise what you constantly refer to as self-determination is actually going on this minute as we speak. The state of Jammu and Kashmir is going through a fairly comprehensive election, and more than 70% of the local people are voting with their feet because they want access, as I said, to education, to employment.
Okay, gentlemen, I'm very sorry to have to do this, but we'll have to unfortunately leave it there for now. But I do apologize, and of course, we will try to continue this conversation on a later date for sure. That was Mr. Chitrapu Uday Bhaskar, who was speaking to us live from New Delhi, and he's part of the Society for Policy Studies. And we were also joined from Islamabad by Mr. Sayyed Tariq Pirzada, who is a strategic affairs analyst. We do appreciate both of your insights here on Press TV, and of course, viewers, we appreciate you watching. Until next time, good night.